Thanks for joining us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And we've got a two-part series here with tight end coach James Casey. Part one that you're going to be enjoying right now is the football life of James Casey. Not just the football life, but his entire life and the adversity that he had to deal with in the early stages of his life. And it's almost mind-bogglingly incomprehensible. James Casey is a special human being. Our 1 million YouTube view giveaways contest, courtesy First Star Logistics, continues with a special contest that runs until August 7th, 9 o'clock. So you have plenty of time, but don't procrastinate. Don't wait, because prizes include 2 tickets to a Cincinnati Reds game in the Boone County Bourbon Room with Dave Lapham. That would be me. 2 tickets to Cincinnati Reds game in the Boone County Bourbon Club with a celebrity to be determined later. And I know you're going to like that. It's big time. A signed Dave Lapham jersey. First Star Logistics custom backpack filled with apparel and gear. A $300 value. Very nice prize. Two $50 gas cards with the price of gas today. Nice. To enter, just go to the link and description below or scan the QR code. Welcome once again to In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics from our outstanding studios as always. We have a very, very special guest, a multi-talented guest with us right now, and that's Bengals tight end coach James Casey. And coach, where are you?
I'm in Texas. This is our one time as coaching staff to get a couple weeks extended where we're not really having responsibilities, because it's get away, get the family time, go relax. I'm out here in Texas with family, and because we're starting up very soon with training camp. And then once that starts, we're going to be working nonstop until hopefully the Super Bowl again.
Absolutely. That's grind time. So mm-hmm. Texas, give us an idea of where you are and what you're doing.
Right now I'm in Azle, Texas, where I'm from, where I grew up, whole way through. It's outside of Fort Worth, Texas, about 16 miles northwest of Fort Worth. And then I've also recently bought some land, 100 and some acres outside of Austin, like northwest of Austin, in a little town called Llano. But it's kind of, secluded. It's trying to get something for my family that I can, because coaches, we only get a little bit of time off, and it's hard to kind of, establish roots someplace. Hopefully I can stay in Cincinnati for a long, long time, and that's my spot. But you never know what's happening in coaching. So if I have the ranch, my idea was to, I got 2 boys, to get them down and as their kids and kind of experience it and just hanging out and creating memories. And then when I get older, or 30 years from now, when my kids are old, and hopefully entice them to come visit me at some point and someplace they can call home. Cause if you're coaching and you're moving around someplace, it's sometimes hard to have a home base. And that's, Texas is our home. That's where we're from. And we love Cincinnati, but you always got to have that place where the kids can always say, okay, this is our place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 160 acres. Boy, you guys going to do, as your boys get a little older, and maybe they're already doing it, you guys going to do a little hunting together?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's 131 acres. And
wow.
I don't really, I didn't grow up with any ranch or hunting or anything like that, but I just thought it was a great idea for family and for investment wise too. Cause
sure.
The old dad is, they don't make land anymore, and it's already kind of went up in value. Cause a lot of people are moving out there to the Austin area. But yeah, you can hunt, you can get a pond, you can, bonfires, just hanging out and just on the land. We went with my youngest son, because my oldest one was still playing baseball, but we went out there for 3 days with my youngest son, and we just camped out there. We stayed at the camp, as hot as it is out here in Texas, it was still just good experience, good, learning experience, good creating memories for the youngest son, who's about to be 9, but hopefully he always remembers that when he's, and you enjoy the air conditioning when you're out there on the heat like that, just camping out for a while. Enjoy the small hole.
Yeah, hear that. Rumor has it, both your sons are pretty darn good baseball players. I mean, that's the word. That's the word in Cincinnati.
Yeah, they are both on really, really good teams. The youngest one's on a 9. Baseball's all age-based when you're talking select baseball. So the youngest one's on 9U, and the oldest one's 12U, and they're on both 2 really, really good teams in Cincinnati area, and they travel around to – we went to Atlanta, they go to South Carolina, they go to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. So they're it's, I mean, it's amazing how competitive it is now with the kids and the coaching and the training videos that everybody has. So we're trying to give them the best chance possible to be successful in baseball. And they also play football too. So that's, they, you know, now it's football season. So we're right. this, I'm getting them good at football and have enjoying the football experience, but it's just great for kids in general. And, you know, especially me playing sports and coaching now, like to see them play, it's most exciting thing to watch is them playing baseball or football and learn a lot of valuable lessons. And, you know, who knows, maybe they'll be good one day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I remember the days my son played double ABC baseball, man. We were traveling all over the place. They were playing like 75, 80 games, you know, at age 11, 12 years old. It's like, oh, this is wild. But it was great, though. It was a great time. It's a grind.
Yeah. Even as a parent, we play the same way. We play like 70 games, and my wife's constantly traveling around. We got to travel around all different places and getting, you know, their uniforms washed. But if we're going to spend a lot of time doing something like playing sports, we're a sports family. And, you know, just like you, we're most of our life is revolving around sports. So we enjoy it. And it's the most fun watching them.
You know, family, I know, is real important to you, Coach. And man, at an early age, I mean, you had to overcome adversity that, I mean, I just can't imagine. And I don't think many people can imagine at the age of 16, you have a fire and you lose your mother at the age of 16 in that fire. And I mean, you survived the fire with your backpack and your clothes pretty much. I mean, that's about all you had, right? And then you had to just kind of pick it up and go from there. Talk about that adversity you had to face at such a young age.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, of course, an unbelievable tragedy, and it's one of the worst things that can happen. I mean, I had a fire in the trailer that I lived in. It's not like I grew up real poor, but the things that I did have got burned down. And then of course my mother was inside because she worked nights. And so I lost my mom and everything I had in one day. Jeez. So yeah, that's, you know, that you can't, it's not like you get over those things, but you just, you know, the epiphany that my mom would have wanted me to be successful. So I always had that in my mind. I still do. So, and just making sure nobody outworks me and trying to get myself out of being in a bad situation to start. So it always motivates me. And it just, that's why I wanted to coach, because you get to talk to young men all the time. You get to do these, you know, podcasts or these videos and get to talk to people, and who knows who's listening to it. And maybe somebody that has something tragic happen to them can hear it. And not that I'm end all be all or anything, but I did pick myself up and still stayed, because it doesn't get more tragic than that. I mean, with your mom dying, your trailer burned down, but you still can, you know, make some of yourself and be successful and try to give your family better things and try to make, you know, just enjoy your life. And as tough as it was, it's still, you know, try to find ways, even the hardest things, to make yourself better and improve yourself. And so I'm always trying to do. And when I'm talking to my tight ends or talking to kids about football stuff, it's the same way. It's like, it's not where you're at right now. It's where you're gonna, you know, where you're going to be at with the consistency and the mindset and the attitude. Like everybody says, the attitude and the effort is the most important thing.
No doubt. No question about it. Well, I mean, you're a heck of a story, heck of a success story. And I'm sure you're the first to admit that as the old saying goes, it takes a village, you know, and you probably had that village, you know, supporting you and surrounding you. But your high school career was outstanding. I mean, multiple sport athlete, and you get drafted in, I think I saw the 7th round by the Chicago White Sox, and you were like a 95 mile an hour bring the heat guy as a pitcher coming out of high school. And that's what you did professionally. First of all, take us through your high school sports career, you know, with your baseball and football excellence and in the baseball part of it initially.
Yeah, I was, even, you know, as a little kid, I was always real athletic, and that was the one thing I had. I was not like I had any, like a lot of money or anything, but I was good in sports. So when you're good in sports, you know, people help you. And also it's fun when you're good and you're working hard at it. And also did really well in school. And I didn't really pitch as a kid. I had kind of a freak injury in basketball my freshman year, and it's really long story, but I ended up like throwing really well in high school and threw really hard and had a bunch of people looking at me. And I was good in football too, but we ran the triple option, so not a lot of colleges looked at me. And looking back now as a former college coach, and you know, it's just the recruiting process is just, there's a lot of guys that kind of get overlooked. But I had also had two knee surgeries my senior year of high school, which is another one thing I had to go over. Like, so my mom passed away, and then I'd keep working in school and sports and have everybody helping me and, you know, buying me clothes. And one guy bought me a truck, like a little Ford Ranger, still like the nicest thing I ever had. Just everybody that was helping me, it always just like, I didn't want to let people down. And I had the two knee surgeries, but I still played, you know, the last game of my high school year and senior, my senior year. And then I went on to play baseball and got fortunate to where I could throw really hard and just kept working hard at it and got drafted in the 7th round and played minor league baseball for about 4 years. And when you're 18 to 22 and you're out there playing minor league, it's your profession, you know, so you're playing professional sports already at that young of an age. And then I got fired from baseball and nobody else would hire me. And I was like, well, I know I'm going to go to college, but I also have a whole different type of mindset. I've always worked hard, but it's, you know, you imagine like you're 22 years old and you get fired from a sport or a job, you know, it was a job and I got fired from it. And not only could I just not go to a different job in that same career, like I could never do that career again. So I learned a lot of valuable lessons about not taking anything for granted, like not letting anybody outwork me and not taking a lot of crap from anybody else and not worry about what everybody else is doing. Just focusing on myself and being respectful and trying to learn and help, but not worrying about what everybody else is doing, because that's just going to get you in trouble and it's not going to help you and you'll have regrets about it. So then I went to college football with the just like, you know, unbelievably motivated.
Man, you go to Rice, which is a heck of an academic institution. We're talking Ivy League caliber institution. And you graduate with a triple major. What was your triple major? Let me make sure I'm getting it right here. Economics, sports management, managerial studies with a 3.84 GPA. Pretty darn strong, coach.
I mean, and a minor. I had three majors and a minor.
What's your minor?
It was business. They didn't have a business degree, so I was trying to do whatever I could. I didn't know. You know, I was young, like coming from a baseball player. Just okay, what can I major in that has a chance to get me successful if I can't go on to play in the NFL? So I was just doing all business stuff, and it was a real advantage to me going into college football after everything that happened to me with my mom, and then getting fired in baseball. And I was 23 or 24 when I started college, but I was already married. I married my high school sweetheart. We're still married 16 years now. So I was just, you know, I was a married man going to college at 23 as a true freshman. But I was really like an adult too. I've already been fired from one career.
Yeah.
So I'm in there. It's work for me. I'm going to school, but I'm doing everything I can to be the best possible football player I could be, to hopefully have a chance at the NFL, even though that was a complete long shot. Cause I haven't played in like 5 years and I wasn't recruited in high school. And just, you know, I knew the school was going to be tough because I hadn't went to school for 5 years before I went there. But I was just, that's all I did. That's a good thing about just looking back now, being older and being a coach. It's like my, you know, a little bit of personality. Like I didn't need to do a whole bunch of different things. I was just focused on the school aspects and the football aspects and then my wife, and that was it. And so I had a lot of time just to do the schoolwork, and I just kept taking a whole bunch of classes, and I was planning on, you know, if I didn't do well early on, I would drop them because you can drop classes. But I just kept not dropping them because I was like, okay, I'm doing pretty well. Yeah. So I took like 18 hours every semester. And I took 9 hours every summer, and I graduated in 6 semesters just because I was so focused on it. And
man,
I just kept adding majors. So I was like, why not? If I can do it, if it's possible, just keep doing it.
Coach, that's strong, man. You talk about focus and discipline and dedication and all that. I mean, you are a walking example of all that good stuff. That's incredible. And how about your game against Southern Mississippi, where you played seven different positions, both offense and defense, in that same game, including the quarterback position? Take us through that game. What was that game like, where you were playing here, there, and everywhere? So beware.
It's another one that, now that I'm older and I've played in the NFL and coached in the NFL and kind of have a much different perspective, like looking back on that, playing in college and playing offense and defense and all these positions, I got way more appreciation just for myself, like of how hard that was to do, like that, and just how I was not afraid of anything. I wasn't shying away from any competition. I wasn't scared to go be the punt returner. I wasn't afraid to go play defense and go play quarterback, which you're not supposed to do, right? You don't ever see a guy in the same game playing quarterback and playing defensive end, but I did that in a Wednesday night game. I didn't think anything of it. I was just like trying to win and do whatever I could and just being really confident. And I was very fortunate that the coaches, you know, gave me a lot of opportunities being at Rice. You know, we were a really good team, but it's not like you're at like Florida or Texas or Ohio State where you just got so many really good players. So I was afforded some opportunities to do more than maybe I would have if I'd have went to a bigger school, if I'd have got fortunate enough to somehow get signed to a big school.
So you get drafted by the Houston Texans, and tight end and fullback, you play a little bit of each for the Texans. Take us through the early stages of your career.
It was difficult, you know. Of course, as you know, playing in the NFL, it was because when I was at Rice, I was drafted as a tight end because I knew that was going to be my best position or have an opportunity, fullback, tight end, special teams. But I really didn't play tight end in college much at all. I was a receiver, running back, quarterback. Like, I was just – they were getting me the ball, and I was running routes. I was like, you know, I had 111 catches my sophomore year. Like, they were just throwing me the ball all the time. So I wasn't like blocking all the time.
That's crazy.
So I go into the NFL thinking, oh, I'm going to catch 100 passes in the NFL. But I was a fifth round pick, and they drafted a fourth round tight end ahead of me in the same team at the, in Houston. And there's a whole bunch of tight ends drafted ahead of me. And I just knew that, you know, after the first couple of days of practice, like, hey, they didn't throw me the ball one time. I'm like, they're not throwing me the ball. So I got to learn how to block, learn how to play fullback, even though I've never done that, learn how to play special teams, and just grinding as much as I could just to make myself valuable in whatever way possible. And knowing that, you know, after a little bit of time, knowing that special teams was going to be my chance to like make the team as a fifth round pick. And as there's a bunch of good tight ends ahead of me. So I just focused on special teams, and I sucked at first, but I just kept working and understanding it. And like, day one, I was like, I got to get my grip strength stronger. I got to get strong hands. So I just worked on my hands as much as possible to get strong hands, and was able to make the team. And then, you know, now I played 7 years, which is, you know, nobody's probably ever heard of me, which is, you know, there's a lot of players like that play a long time that work hard, study, like make themselves valuable. We got a lot of guys on Cincinnati that are like that they're not Jamar Chase. They're not Joe Mixon. They're not Joe Burrow, but there are a lot of guys that just work really hard and are very valuable in certain aspects that most people that aren't fans of the Bengals probably wouldn't even know about.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question about it. You're absolutely right. I mean, position versatility is a huge asset, and you understand that now. On the other side of it, from a coaching perspective, and talk about that transition when you were done playing, and you did play for Houston, you played for Philadelphia, you played for Denver. Like you said, you got 7 years of pro experience as a player. And did you know right away you wanted to get into the coaching side of it, or did you want to try to dabble in business where your studies took you at the collegiate level?
I was always thinking about it because I just common sense wise, I knew it was going to be hard to play in the NFL for a long time. And even if best case scenario, I played 10, whatever years, I was going to be 30 something years old and need a job to make money to provide for my family, just common sense. So I'm always talking to my players about that. My tight ends, like, you need to be thinking about what you're going to do after football, because once you're done playing football, like, really nobody cares anymore. It's, you got to find something else. You can't just be tied to a football player. That's not your identity. That's what you play right now, but you're going to have a long life to do other things. So the whole time I was playing, I was always thinking about it every day. I was thinking about football, and I was thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do afterwards? And I just started thinking about everything that I was kind of interested in and that were possible. So I started off like really thinking about what makes the most money. And because, you know, and I read books on like investment banking. I read books on the oil and gas industry. I read books about like law and law school. So I thought about going to law school. Then I had a phase where I was thinking about politics. So I did an internship in the Houston mayor's office for like really? a whole summer one time as a player, just trying to see what it was. And that was the best thing, because I realized like, nope, I don't want to do that. Don't want to do that right now. Like, it's not my deal. Same thing in law school, just talking to people. I was like, nah, I'm getting old. I don't want to do that. And I mean, so long story short, I thought about a whole bunch of things, but I didn't just think about them. I read books on them. I talked to people. Mm-hmm. I did internships. I did shadowing things in the off season when I was available football wise. Because I knew as a player, they're going to be real open to kind of let me come in and hang out. But when I'm done playing, they're not going to care, because then it's like I need a job, and they want to hire the best possible person that's going to help them. So if they don't know me, it's not going to be an advantage. So after about year four, I was like, I knew I loved football, and I was like, I'm always thinking about football. Even as a player, I'm going to sleep thinking about it. I'm waking up really early. I'm studying film. I know I love football. I love the strategy behind it too. And I can also make a big impact with people, because I can talk to a bunch of people, especially if I'm in college or high school or whatever. And so I said, okay, I want to coach football. So after year four, I started just calling everybody I knew that ever coached me or any coach that I potentially knew, and said, hey, I just letting you know I want to coach if there's ever an opportunity for me to come hang out and just kind of see what it's about. And really what I was doing was just trying to get in front of them so they can see me and they know I'm not some, you know, pro football players got a bad perception sometimes of what kind of people – we are, right. You know, like prima donnas and not working hard and thinking we know everything, but not everybody's like that. So I just wanted to show them I wasn't like that. So I went to Ohio State for a week because I knew the offensive coordinator. It was Tom Herman at the time. I went to Texas Tech when Kingsbury was the head coach, just kind of got in contact with him and just hung out. It's because once I figured I wanted to coach, I started getting in there and like meeting people. And then when I got done playing after year seven, I got fired by Denver before the fifth game because I was old and just couldn't run. And that was the year they won a Super Bowl. So that sucked, but I still got paid, luckily, all the way through the playoffs. That was the best.
There you go.
So So I called everybody and said, hey, I'm done. I got fired. Nobody else is hiring me. I'm not even getting tryouts anymore. I did a bunch of like tryouts and nobody hired me. My knees were all jacked up. So yeah. I called all the people that I went and visited and said, hey, I'm want to coach. If there's ever an opportunity or opening and you think I'd be good, you know, give me a call. So I got on at University of Houston that next year. So right away, I went straight into it. Like I didn't get any like retirement downtime or anything like that. I went straight into it because I knew like that was my personality. I needed to be doing something. I don't need to be sitting around like just hoping. So I already had the plan though. I knew what I wanted to do. I just needed the opportunity. And I got in on the University of Houston was really like my first opportunity to come in. And I made $22,000 the first year, just being a QC quality control coach or whatever, just helping whatever way I could and showing them I'll clean the ice chest. I'll clean off the board. I'll go get the other coaches, beef jerky, whatever they need. I'm not a prima donna. I'll do anything. And then I worked there for 3 years. Became a special teams coordinator and tight end coach, kind of elevated myself up just by working hard. And then, you know, I got really fortunate to get on with Cincinnati with Zach Taylor coming in and hiring me as a tight ends coach.
That's awesome. Your story sounds, it resonates so well with me. I mean, Paul Brown was my first head coach and he would always tell us, you know, like you were saying, when you're done playing, man, you're going to be, you know, early 30s, probably worst case scenario. You got a lot of life left. You have a lot of work left and you have to figure out what your life's work's going to be. So I recommend every off season you find an off season job. I did. And like you said, eliminated vocations, you know, tried this and not really liking that. Try this, try that. And at least you can kind of hone in and pinpoint, you know, your vocation. And it's funny when Paul waved guys, when he terminated guys, you know, on the final cutdowns, he'd say, young man, I'm just giving you the opportunity to start your life's work a little sooner than you thought. You know, yeah. you had a great opportunity here. Not many people get this opportunity. Now you get to your life's work. And that made a big impact. I mean, you're a great example of following through on that type of mindset.
So at First Star Logistics, we're a very strict company that really puts the pressure on our employees. Brakes? What are those?
That's what I'm talking about, Icky. Get the body right, then the mind's right. You know,
gotta get that body right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Become a star with a chance to earn the highest commission percentages in the industry as a freight broker agent. Check out firststarlogistics.com.